verse 9. We're getting ready to close out Revelations here. We're in a good section. Towards the end, where God is describing heaven, particularly for those people there that have been suffering and will be suffering. And the letter is written to them to help them understand some of the things about the persecution and about overcoming. After we finish Revelation, we'll be going to Galatians. So hopefully we'll have Sunday and Wednesday, we should finish up Revelations. Okay, Revelation is the 21st chapter. We had talked about, he gives the introduction about the new heaven and the new earth. The old one is passing away. The earth, so he's talking basically with judgment. And then in the end of time, now it's time for it. He had been announced his judgments upon Rome and what's going to happen to that empire, and also upon her allies, and also upon Satan and the judgment that they're going to be cast down to the lake of fire. And so he's telling now that this basically the old earth, and we talked about Sunday, this earth and this heaven is going to be passed away. It's going to burn up. But there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And that's what he's describing for us in the 21st chapter. And whereas the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And this is basically, well, I don't get for. We'll stop right there because I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. All right, let's look at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in a spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three great gates are on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And we see now that the angel, we don't know which one, but one of them that had given about the seven, the bowls that are filled with the plagues. The bride had been mentioned before in Revelation 9:7 and in 21:1. Now, John gets back to the subject. We are reminded of in Revelation, the 17th chapter, where John was invited to see the judgment of the great harlot. When he was shown, what he was shown was a great city, Rome, which was like Babylon of old. That's how they describe it in its symbolism. The seducers of the nations of the world. Now here he is invited to see the bride of the Lamb, another woman. But what he has shown is another great city, the new and holy Jerusalem. He viewed the symbolic scene depicting the fall of Babylon from the wilderness. But he is taken to a high mountain to view the heavenly city. It is to be discerned only from an exalted position. And here we're talking about the bride, the Lamb's bride, excuse me, the Lamb's wife, Who is the Lamb's wife?
Church.
Those faithful ones. As he using the symbolism before, like he did with the of Rome, he used a woman, a harlot, and told her how beautiful she was, and she was very seductive, and that she was enticing all the world to come be with her and follow her in her deceptive way. Because remember, Satan had given her the authority and the power. And so she is here, you have the emperor worship and how they were persecuting the people. Now, here's the contrast to it. We're not talking about the wife or the Lamb's bride here. And he says, now we're the other one. He took it to a wilderness. But now he's taken to a high mountain. Elevated, because this one is from heaven. The new city, a new Jerusalem, is coming down from heaven. And that's represent. This is the church. Those that are going to be saved, the children of God. Those are that are written in the book. And this is the description that he has here. And that's the contrast was. One of them is the harlot, and here it comes down, the new Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. Those that have overcome, that we talked about here Sunday, those that have lived through the persecution and the trials and tribulations, this is what he's talking about here. And he's describing now, this is where you're going to be. This is what it's going to be like. And he's telling against him and says, look, you know, here's the difference. This one is descending from heaven from God. And this is where God's tabernacle, God abode, is what we're going to be talking about. As he says here about the glory. The city has the glory of God. It is made glory by his presence. Now he says, her light is like a brilliant, sparkling, flashing diamond with every facet reflecting and expressing the glory of God. If you look, and I don't know too much about jewelry. I'm not a jewelry person. But you've seen commercials how they entice you with jewelry or with a diamond. Jasper here, it says a stone. Most likely is a diamond. Some of these, when we get later on, we'll talk about all these precious stones. Some we don't know completely about, but most of them we do. But a jasper is probably a diamond. And he's talking about how you see, you get the diamond in the perfect, in the light, how it reflects everything. Well, this is what he's telling how this is. And it's caused by God's glory. The light. How you see how a perfect diamond will find a flaw in everything. Well, this is what he's talking about. It's brilliant. And it has to be brilliant. It's God's glory. God's glory is the light. And that's what he's going to talk about here too. There is no darkness there. With God and a Lamb there is no darkness. There's nothing but light. And it's from both God and the Lamb, Christ's glory. Charles, you got? Are you just...
One thing that I understand is heaven is so beautiful that there's nothing on this earth that we want to give heaven for. We don't have anything on earth that we want to swap that from heaven. When you talk about the Lamb, the reason is, in a way, because we're talking about people that was redeemed by the Lamb. Jesus Christ made it holy and pure. That's the way heaven is. Holy and pure. One thing we need to keep in mind too, this thing talking about the holy city of Jerusalem. It's not coming back down here to reign. There's nowhere in the Bible that it ever talks about Jesus Christ coming to earth again. He will not be coming to earth again, and he will not be coming to establish his church. His church is already established. Matter of fact, John is in the church right now. The first chapter said he's been translated into the church that's been existing, And so he's not coming back and setting up this kingdom. He's not even coming to earth again. Nowhere it says he will be caught up in the cloud meeting there as redeemed people of the Lamb, holy people, because we have been redeemed. That's what Jesus Christ does for us.
Yeah. We had talked about Sunday, where the, you look in 2 Peter, where it's going to be the heavens and the earth is going to be burned up. This is not a permanent place. This is only temporary. This is a worldly thing. What we're talking about here and what John is describing here is a spiritual abode. This is a new Jerusalem. That's the reason he's talking about coming down from heaven. It's a new place. And the way he describes here, now, if you guys just think about it, in your travels, wherever you look, I'm sure you've seen some beautiful sights, whether it's, you know, it's made by God, nature, or if somebody's made something, how beautiful and lovely it is. And you look at it, man, that is just suspendous. I can't believe how good that looks, or something like that. That's just a beautiful sight. Well, hands up there, you know, right now at Niagara Falls. That is. That's a magnificent sight. Man, let me tell you, it will not even compare to what he's talking about here. Nate? Revelation is particularly written for them, and particularly for this, because their persecution, they are going through the hard time. But you have to understand, too, like I said, we go through some hard times. We may not be as persecuted as that. We may not be threatened for life, but we do have hard times. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. And there's sometimes we do get down. Well, here is a good part to look at. And when you're discouraged, something like this, you look at here the Revelation, the last couple of verses, I mean chapters, and you're going to see if you overcome, if you withstand these problems, these temptations, these trials, look what you're going to get. I mean, there is, if when you read this, I don't see how, this has to bring joy. Because you know, not everybody lost their life. Some of them lost a limb or an arm or a leg or something like that. They even lost an eye or what. But when they start reading and get to the end of this, they see this, what God has waiting for them. And this is forever and ever and ever and ever. He's already talking about it. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you the water that you'll never thirst again. I'm going to provide for you. And when he would get here in just a few minutes, we're getting to talk about here the city, the walls. I'm going to protect you. You're going to be saved. You don't have any worries. I'm going to take care of you. And you will be with God in Christ forever and ever. And that's why he's painting. He's painting a picture for you and I in symbolism. You understand that he has to put these words into our words or a way we can understand it. Let me tell you, it's going to be so much greater than this. These are simple terms because we can understand, but it's going to be so much greater than what he's describing here. And it's a beautiful picture. And it's what you can imagine here. As we look here at the next verses, he's talking about this great wall. Well, in ancient times, in this particular time we're studying about now, where they're at in persecution, ancient cities had walls to provide for security for their people. This wall is not necessary to protect from enemies without, for they are all destroyed here. It completes the symbolic picture of an absolute and perfect security of those within the city and of their complete fellowship with God. This is what he's emphasizing. They understand why a walled city is put up. It's to protect the people in the city. If you get inside a city, that's hopefully going to protect you. And they understand that why he's talking about, well, there's this great wall that he's just getting ready to strive. This means security for them. I mean, they're not secure where they're at. They're going through, you know, it's even, we talk about economic things too. They don't even know where sometimes their next meals come from. And he's telling you, you don't have to worry about that. See, all that's going to change. Remember we talk about Sunday, there's not going to be no pain, no crying, no mourning. We cannot imagine that. It's hard for us to imagine that. But there's no more weeping anymore. There's no more pain for us. No suffering. And he described it to them and he says, look, I've already told you I provide for you. Now I got security. You don't have to worry about anything. Because all of your enemies have been destroyed. Satan's gone. He's down in the lake of fire. And all his servants, all his people that follow him, those that rejected me are down there with him. You don't have no enemies. This wall is not for your protection from people on the outside. It's just to make you feel that secure. That's what he's telling them. You're going to be in a secure place because God and Christ is going to be there. And it says the names written on them, specifying the identity of the inhabitants of the city. Well, they are the children of Israel. Not literally, remember, because it, but they are the true Israel. God's faithful in every disputation. This is what he's talking about. Who were he talking about here? The children of Israel. That's his people. That's his children. And that's for all of us. All that are faithful are going to be there. All that overcome. All that stay fast. Strong will make it. And this is going to be yours. Now, verse 14. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, or stones, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, the golden reed. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measures of a man, that is an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation or stone was jasper. The second one was sapphire. The third was chalcedon. The fourth, emerald. The fifth was sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth was chrysoprase, or phase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates for 12 pearls. Each inner gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, here is the description where he's trying to describe to you and I and to them what this new Jerusalem city is like. Now, as you look at that, what comes to your mind? Anything? Before we go and explain some of this. Does anything come to your mind when you just read this part right here?
It's magnificent.
Do what?
It's magnificent in the beauty of it.
Okay. Anybody else?
It's a beautiful place. John saw the old temple.
Okay. First off, it's laid as out as a square. All things are the same. Now, an angel measured this. Remember beforehand, John did, but now an angel with a gold ring. But look at those foundations. Now, these are precious jewels and stones, which we'll talk about in a few minutes here. But then you got 12 gates. What's your gate? Pearl. One huge pearl. And you got 12 of them. You got three of them on each side. You got four sides, you got three, you got 12. Keep that picture in mind. All right. In verse 12, the 12 gates had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel that tribaled them. Now, with them, joining them now are the names of the 12 apostles. Those of the New Testament era who entered the city will have walked by faith, which had been built on the foundation laid through the gospel preached and confirmed by the apostles. I think that's pretty good significance and symbolism here using the apostles' names as the foundation stone. And there's 12. And he put there, this is the foundation of the new city, based upon the apostles that give us and receive the gospel, the message for us of the New Testament. So we had basically, remember talking before, we had those children of Israel. Now we've got the 12 apostles included too. So you got all the dismission of the God's children. Then he said, he talked to me about a gold ring. In chapter 11, John measured the church of the present age with an ordinary rod. But the heavenly city is measured with a golden reed by an angel. Okay? Here's significance here. The church here was measured by John with a standard rod or reed. However, the heavenly Jerusalem is going to be measured by an angel, not John, but by an angel and with a golden reed or golden rod or golden standard, what he's talking about. Now, 12,000 furlong. I don't know if you know furlong is. We're talking about approximately about 1,500 miles. Now that's a staggering amount. If you look at it, basically he described it as a cube. 1,500, 1,500, 1,500. That's a huge place. 1,500 miles. Looking into our standards, he's given by a man's measurement, but an angel's doing it. That's the way he's doing it. See what? How, what a huge place this would be. Would you have to worry about finding a place there? And he describes, remember talking about, says, Christ says, you know, I'm going down to build you a mansion. Well, if you look at this and the description of this, you can see why he uses the terminology a mansion. He wants to put this in your mind, what a magnificent place where you're going to go to. If you overcome, if you stay faithful, this is what you shall receive. And he's putting this in their mind here to help you overcome those temptations, those trials, that persecution. And you think about it. I have never been to Mount Everest. I don't know. I've never seen anything, but you had to put Mount Everest 250 times high level. Think about that. Put in terminology. He's trying to give you an estimate that what a great, grand, but this is a grand place, but it's huge. Magnificent. This is a large place that can be, that it's going to be so magnificent. Then he talks about the 144 for the walls. Of course, we're familiar with the 144. We've talked about that in December 12, the number, the complete number, and you multiply it by itself. So that you get 144. But basically what he's talking about is let you know that this is a secure place. Because what did they count security back then? The thickness of the walls? If you had a city and you had it fortified all the way around, and you had, if you look at some of the places, the things where the fortified city we're talking about, those that were had the thickest walls. That's what he's talking about. You have to understand, you know, when you're reading this, I've tried to put myself, if I was living back there and I was reading this, I went through all this thing, and I read, talk about this, yes, I would feel a safe place. Yes, I would think this is a grand place. This is a huge place. It's a magnificent place. But what would you expect from God? God created this heavens and this earth here, and we look at it and we think it's magnificent. God sustains this, the heavens and earth here. His word keeps this planet going. So you can imagine where God lives, what this place is going to be. And that's why he is trying to describe to you and I his abode. Now, if that's his abode, that's going to be yours. That's his idea. What's he talking about? We're going to be together. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
$1,500 from L.A. to New York is 3,000 miles. So, you know, you think of from here to Dallas, it's 700 miles. So you double that, and you get kind of an impression of what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, the size of it.
Yeah, you. Well, most people we've traveled and things, of course, the normal standard, of course, I don't think it's standard nowadays. It used to be 500 miles a day. That would be a 3-day journey for us in a car. But now people go much further than that way with it. But you imagine that 1,500 miles, do I?
Most people don't want to go to Dallas, Texas.
Well, yeah, that's true. We're talking about paradise here, aren't we? We're not talking about a place of torment, we're talking about paradise. You know, use a better city, okay?
You know, there were the streets of gold. I remember when gold was like $32 an ounce. That what is $1,500 an ounce?
Something. It's expensive. With that. Yeah, let me put it this way: when he's talking to the description of gold here, it's not anywhere near the description of gold. The gold that he's talking about here is pure gold. We don't have that pure gold here. We'll talk about that when we get to it too with it. But there's a greater value to that gold than it is to this gold here upon earth. It's just showing you the value of it. And he's talking about the precious stone. And I didn't know this until I looked it up and said that there's 8 of these stones that are in the blessed plate of the high priest. And I thought that's pretty interesting. So I put it in there. Some of these stuff we don't really know, like talk about. Jasper is, we really think it's a diamond, what he's talking about. It was, back then was precious. There's two things we'll talk about in a minute, another one. Jasper, the diamond was, of course, it's always come in a very precious stone for most people. But back in Alto Nation times here, pearl was very, very great value. and some of these other ones too, but it basically talking about is the freshness of the jewels itself and the colors and how it is with it. And he's basically talking to let you know, okay, these precious gems decorate the wall with items of striking beauty and eternal value. These things, when they read these, they know the value of these stones. They may not have them, but they know the value of them. And they also they know the beauty of them, the colors of them, the reflection, especially with the diamond reflection of light or thing. But these other ones, they understand how beautiful they are. And so as you put it in your mind here, your foundation of thing is, look what you got. You're talking about the most, to us here on earth, in terminology, the most precious jewels. Now, we may not have much here, people. We may not. But the Lord is telling you that you're going to live in a magnificent place. And that is the picture he's trying to paint here. You understand? He's already told them, we've been through the Revelation, about the trials and persecution, what Rome's going to do, and how he's already forecast what's going to come. Even though it's already started, but it's going to get worse. His point is, those that overcome shall receive this.
Don't you think that since we, use symbolic terms so much, that could be the way it is too. It still shows the precious of it, but it don't literally to be, have to be told. It could be in symbolic language, stuff like that. If we look at the Bible language on the other, we might all put it on this too.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about a spiritual place,
right?
Okay, and let me tell you, I don't know what my spiritual body is going to be like. I can tell you what my physical body is like, what your physical body is like, but a spiritual body, I cannot really comprehend that. Can I comprehend this New Jerusalem? No, but he's trying to use words that we understand. These are similar. This is not what it's going to look like. It will not be streets of gold. It will not be precious stone. But you think about, from our standpoint, when something as magnificent, as like I said, when you see something that's really beautiful, or you look and say, oh, that's just a gorgeous sight. Well, he's picturing it. I don't care what you look at here on earth. It's going to be so much better. And like I said, it's 250 times a Mount Everest. Well, it's going to be 250 times greater than what you and I can comprehend or more. I don't know. But it's a spiritual thing. But we don't think about spiritual. He's explained to us in physical terminology that we can understand that this is a magnificent place. This is, you know what? This is some place I would like to live on this earth. But I'm not going to live on this earth because it'll be stored. But I mean, this is something magnificent. And you can understand this is a place where God would abode. I wouldn't expect anything less from God. I wouldn't expect anything less of the most precious things. If it's the jewels or it's the streets of gold or diamonds, whatever. And we're talking about how huge it is. Would you not expect for God, would that be a great, magnificent place? And that's what he described. This is my dwelling. This is my tabernacle. This is where I abode. And he says, you will have partake of it if you overcome. You will live with God and you're going to live with Christ. We will be there. And we are going to provide for you. We're going to take care of everything. And
I don't take it even if it might be a mud street.
Do what?
I said I would take it even though it might be a mud street.
You can get, I tell you what, it's not going to be. You're going to be so pleasantly surprised.
I think the last sentence really does it. It says, God impresses us with the splendor of the city. And then we read on a little bit later about Christ and God and the Lamb being there.
Yeah.
And the brightness, the light. That right there tells us something that looks to be like.
Well, we have to use our imagination. And that's, and he's describing the words that we have, the only words that you and I can understand. And he just using symbolism, he painted me a picture. And I can see what that place is. I got it in my mind what this place looks like.